Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Legal pad, need it, don't need it. I just wrote freaking 3 pages. Stream of consciousness, we're looking pretty dialed in right now. Okay, I've been hearing about the mic picking up some white noise, so hopefully this week it's better. I turned the mic down, but welcome to In the Jar, where a friendly face ain't far. And instead of a cigar, got a football in my hand type deal. All right, so what's the first deal we got? Farnham Street Brain Food. And then we'll get into some James Clear. And then we'll take a look at some headlines from the week. So, I'm not going to lie to y'all. I read this before the show. This is not a live reading. But I do remember there being some good deals in here. There's a quote from Rick Rubin, who I'm a big fan of. So the first deal says, sailors have an expression. That's the first deal. Sailors have an expression about the weather. They say the weather is a great bluffer. I guess the same is true of our human society. Things can look dark, then a break shows in the clouds, and all has changed, sometimes rather suddenly. Interesting. Life's like the weather, dog. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't give a damn if you're a meteorologist or not. All right, insights. He is careful of what he reads, for that is what he will write. He is careful of what he learns, for that is what he will know. I guess the idea behind that is intention, right? I think, because if you know what you need to be reading, then you know what you're going to be knowing. I'm not going to lie to y'all, man. I had a little smoke before the episode. So, you know, we're just cruising through this thing, having a good time on a Saturday in Phoenix, Arizona. Competence is how good you are when there is something to gain. Character is how good you are when there's nothing to gain. People will reward you for competence, but people will only love you for your character. That's from Mark Manson. I think he's the author of Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, which is a book. I think it was pretty good seller. I get his newsletter every week, and it's real short. It's like 3 maybe yay big sections of writing, and he always asks really good questions of the reader, kind of almost like journal entry prompts type deal. So Mark Manson's good. I follow him on everything. Haven't done a deep dive on his work, but I definitely look at it at least once a week. Okay, so here's from Rick Rubin. When we reach an impasse at any point in the creative process, it can be helpful to step away from the project, to to create space and allow a solution to appear. That's a good one. I think, and I was reading about this, book's sitting all the way over there. I'm going to grab it. This is a great, I don't even know what to call it. It's kind of a novel. It's kind of, it is a list of tasks that you have each week. And admittedly, I've had this for probably 4 or 5 months. And I'm only through week 5. It's very hard. Especially at the beginning, because you have to address a lot of stuff that might be buried deep down. Everybody's got it. It's, you know, and so it kind of helps you address maybe someone that said something to you when you were little that could have broken the creative spirit a little bit. Type of deal. And I forgot where I was going with that, man. So this week, I just did my last week. Not my last week, but I did the entry for this past week. And it was talking about how important solitude is for any artist. And the thing I like about this publication is that it doesn't say, well, oh, you might be creative, you might not be creative. The whole idea behind it is that we are all creative, and creativity is simply breaking down the barriers in order to let God flow through us, baby. You know what I'm saying? That's all creation is. That's what keeps me coming back to this show, because I feel the more I show up, the more of a voice gets developed, and I understand myself better each week as a result of talking to y'all. So, talks about the need for solitude and how most people stay creatively blocked because they feel selfish taking time away for themselves, when really that's all your inner artist wants, is solitude. And when it doesn't get it, it starts to become like a cornered animal, that part of you, and it could really become a bad thing, from what I understand. I mean, I've experienced it to some extent, but you know, it was talking about the fella that feels bad for getting away for a weekend on his own because, you know, he's not including his wife. Or kids are a perfect example of that. You know, when you have kids, I don't have any, but from what I understand of friends that do, it's like you don't even remember what your life was like beforehand. And that's a good thing. Everybody I know has described that as a good feeling. But, you know, I can imagine if I had kids, I would maybe feel a bit guilty about getting away for a weekend of camping at the Grand Canyon like I did 2 weeks ago or so. And that was a hell of an experience, boy. So the task for the 2 weeks before this and here for me was to take, there's something called artist's dates. And I know a lot of people are going to think this sounds like a bunch of hooey, spiritual, weird boy shit. And it might be, but it helps me. So you take an artist date every week, just 1 hour of doing whatever the hell you want to do by yourself. And I haven't been great about taking those at all. But one of the tasks was to take an extended artist's date. Weekend trip, one night. So I packed up a tent and some pillars and a damn Samford football hoodie and a hockey shirt. And I went up there, and damn, boy, it was cold. It was real cold. There was damn frost on the tent. When I got out of bed the next morning, I took Jasper, and he was, he had to, poor boy had to crawl up in my sleeping bag, you know, right underneath my legs. I was worried he was going to get suffocated, but he's a resilient little soldier, so he figured it out, but I felt him shivering the whole night. But what was cool about that trip was the people. And what I mean by that is I was out in the woods. It was dark. It was getting cold. I was starting to think, damn, boy. You know, I talk all this shit about being a boy, man. I don't even know if I could last the night out in the woods type thing. I'm getting paranoid, you know, having a smoke. I didn't have a gun on me. So, you know, I was sitting here thinking, like, damn, you know, I could get run up on for sure right now, dude. You know, obviously that's very paranoid thinking, but I think about that stuff sometimes. And this RV pulls up, and this Australian guy gets out. I could tell from the first word that came out of his mouth. His name was Bryce. And he said to me, oh, mate, can we pull up here for the night? And I said, yeah, as long as y'all look after me. He was like, oh, we'll have a beer. And he grabs a couple of IPAs. His wife is with him. His wife was French, and they live in France. And they run he runs an Australian-style coffee shop in France. And his little girls were with him. I guess he put him to bed, and then they came outside with some beers. And they had an Indian friend. And he was real cool, too, and he had the accent and everything. You know, it was a real authentic experience. And I find myself sharing a John, and some beers with these three individuals. And, of course, I'm high and kind of going on like I do on this show, and I don't think they'd ever seen anything like it. You know, they were just kind of keeled over, and I ain't that funny. You know, I maybe have my moments, but you know, I was just talking, having a good time, and it was a real deal, like, cool experience, dog. You know what I mean? It's just like, feel like with social media and the way, you know, the world's changed the last 10-15 years, you know, people might feel like they you know, don't want to talk to someone as much or can't. And, you know, people don't make eye contact in public. You go down to Scottsdale, Arizona, L.A., part two, really. And, you know, you walk around and, you know, I like to say howdy. I like to make eye contact with someone and wave or smile or, you know, or even one of those, and it's just like, dude, don't get that energy back, man. And I take it personal every time. I really shouldn't, but I do. And you know, it's crazy. Like, if I was just a dick to old Bryce, you know, I would have missed out on that whole deal, and it was probably the most fun I've had in a good couple of weeks. So, shit, I was rambling so long, my damn screen turned off. I forgot we were even reading a freaking email. But anyway, there you go. Tiny thoughts. The more comfortable you are with yourself, the less you need approval of others. That's good, man. I was just writing about that. That's good. It's a self-belief thing. You know what I mean? Don't need that external belief anymore. You're just kind of running on your own gas. The most common response when we're scared is avoidance. The longer we wait, the greater the fear, and action reduces fear. Yeah, man. We're finally starting to get some clients out here in Phoenix, some businessmen, and like, you know, I'm going to coffee with folks, and it's real cool, man. I get to connect with people like crazy, but you know, it's new, right? So you get a little nervous leading up, but then you sit down and you kind of just try to keep your damn ears open and you know, really connect. It's like it just starts flowing, man, kind of like this. You know, I still get a little nervous when I pull up to shoot the pod, you know what I'm saying? But you kind of just say, hey, what's gonna happen is gonna happen, brother, and I know I'm gonna regret it if I don't do this type deal. So you know, action.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Reduces fear. Finally got back into the gi jiu-jitsu class. I mentioned that on the show maybe last week, and man, it's just fun. You know, you get everybody does this. You get real nervous about the thought of doing something new because it's uncertain. But God, the payoff on that, man, it's crazy. The football just rolled down, hit the damn tripod, boy. You thought that was an earthquake. Okay, last little line, and we'll go to James Clear, get into some NFL news and clips for the week. The price you pay for doing what everyone else does is getting what everyone else gets. A nice hangover after a night out with the boys clubbing in Old Town Scottsdale. Run up a $400 bar tab and a hangover, boy. You know what I'm saying? That's the life, ain't it? Am I being a hater? Yes or no? Okay, James Clear. Here we go. I haven't read this yet. This is a live reading. All right. You know, this is in my lip. Get her redirected, resituated. Swig of water. Okay. On weaknesses, the secret to happiness and what you want but haven't said. So 3, 2, 1. 3 ideas, 2 quotes, and 1 question. Okay. You can ignore your weaknesses, but you can't expect them to not impact you. The weakness of the coach shapes the players. The weakness of the teacher influences the students. The weakness of the parent molds the child. That's pretty good. I don't think I have much to say about that. I think that's as straightforward as you can get. Don't wait to start writing until you have something to say. Start writing so you can find out what you have to say. Your first idea is rarely your best idea. It can take a lot of reps before you discover something worth keeping. Take a look at it, boys. If somebody like me can do this, you can too. It's just starting. You will never find one answer to what makes you happy. There are many answers and they change based on your current state. People need to relax, but if all you do is sit out on the beach, it gets old. People find meaning in work, but if all you do is work, it gets exhausting. People benefit from exercise, but if all you do is exercise, it gets unhealthy. Happiness will always be fleeting because your needs change over time. The question is, what do you need right now? Again, pretty straight and narrow, man. I mean, if you just listen to that voice, you know, sometimes that voice would get lost, but if you listen for it, it's there. And sometimes the voice, it might be outside of you. It might be something else. You know what I mean? And that's the cool part about this whole thing is we don't know. All right. Two quotes from others. Painter Vincent van Gogh on pushing yourself. I'm always doing what I can't do yet in order to learn how to do it. Kind of similar to what we've been on first part of this episode. Okay. Writer and translator Estelle Gilson shares a translation of a rejection slip issued by a Chinese economic journal and in the process reveals the most incredible way to say no. We have read your manuscript with balanced delight. If we were to publish your paper, it would be impossible for us to publish any work of lower standard. And as it is unthinkable that in the next 1,000 years we shall see its equal, we are, to our regret, compelled to return your divine composition and to beg you 1,000 times to overlook our short sight and timidity. Okay. Yeah. Good way to say no without being an ass, right? It's kind of lifting them up, even though you're saying no. One question. Unspoken boundaries often cause frustration. What is one area of your life where you would benefit from having clearer boundaries but haven't voiced them yet? Interesting. And again, before you can even communicate that, you have to know. And simply knowing is freaking hard-ass work. It really is. I think I saw an article that caught my eye here on the trap phone. So let's see if it's still there. Oh, yeah. Glenn Davis. Big Baby Davis. He got jail time for something. Let's use the Google machine. Glenn Davis. Okay. What's the scoop on him? I'm not reading a CNN piece. Okay. Glenn Big Baby Davis says prison sentence will help keep him away from burgers. Mean. Let's do another one. That's Fox News. It's got to be a little borderline sensational. ESPN, that'll work for me. Okay. Former NBA forward Glenn Big Baby Davis was sentenced by a federal judge Thursday to 40 months in prison plus 3 years supervised release for his November 2023 conviction in an alleged scheme to defraud the league's health care benefits plan. This is the NBA. There were 18 other former players involved in this case. Let's see. Ordered to pay $80,000 in restitution. Wow. The conditions of his supervised release include attending a financial management class and receiving mandatory drug treatment. Man, let me run some damn financial management classes, boy. I'll take you to school, boy. I'm just kidding. I don't know anything. Okay. I want to know. It pains me. Is his lawyer talking? The lawyer acknowledged her client's poor decisions, but argued for a time-served sentence with requirements for punitive service, mental health therapy, and treatment for a cannabis addiction. Damn, dude. Man, so I don't like that. I don't like that they're still trying to use cannabis against people in court. Now, I don't know his life. I don't know him, but you know, sometimes the herb can affect people. It does affect people's lives negatively, but it's all on the person. If you choose to have a healthy habit with it, that is an option. So, you know, folks that are like waking up and smoking every day, like it's kind of hard for me to be on board with, like, are you making the best decisions all the time? Probably not, because, you know, the smoke, you know, you're not as sharp when you're on the smoke, which is why it's okay when you come home and everything's done for the day and you feel like you've earned it to light up a little smoke. And, you know, weekends too, it's like when the work is done, whatever work you have to do for a certain day, you have a smoke. So, you know, it's hard for me to get behind somebody using cannabis addiction against somebody. But I don't know how the man lives. When I lost basketball, I lost myself. He pleaded to the judge, I ask you, Your Honor, to help me get back to who I am. And that's exactly what the honorable judge will do. Okay, clips for, well, we got NFL news here. Not much going on post-draft, and this is normal. Teams have started, I believe, like mini camps, OTAs, that type of deal. And so Tyler Boyd, this is the first deal of the day, Tyler Boyd is signing with the Titans. This happened this week on a one-year deal worth up to $4.5 million. And I still think that's underpaid, man, for him. He is one of the most slept on guys. And I can speak for everyone in Cincinnati and the whole Bengals fan base is saying, we are going to miss Tyler Boyd and his contribution to the Bengals. Should and will always be remembered. He was reliable as it gets, except for that one play against the Texans. He just got it done for the most part. And somebody posted stats of his on Twitter this week, and he had like I don't want to be wrong, but I think I remember it being like 6,000 yards receiving during his time with the Bengals. I can't say how many years for a fact he was with us, but it was a good stint of time. And so here's the Titans offense, and it looks good, and that bothers me. But you got Levis. He's a slinger. You know, he's played good ball, and I think he's only got upside from here. So, you know, that's good. D-Hop, you got Calvin Ridley, who they signed this offseason, paid him a bunch of money. I think it was in the 90 millions. Now you got Boyd. You got Tony Pollard coming over from the Dallas Cowboys. I'm embarrassed to say I don't know Tyjae Spears. I probably should, but I don't. But that offense looks real good. It's going to be – I can't think of many players. Oh, Snead, obviously, signed with them in the offseason on their defense. So, yeah, man. The AFC South is going to be fun. It's going to be fun because you look at it, the Texans are obviously getting probably the most hype in an offseason they've gotten in a long, long time. You know, Indy is going to be in the mix, and I say that not only because I'm a former employee and I really, really believe in what that organization, how they operate, and I really had a good experience with them, so I always want to see Indy do well. And then Jacksonville, you know, you got you got a formidable deal in all four teams within the AFC South. It's going to be, I think it'll be the most fun division in football, top to bottom. Obviously, I'm biased towards the AFC North, and they are also in the mix for that title as well for me. And that is completely from a place of bias. But could it also be rooted in fact? Only time will tell. Next deal. Okay, I thought this was interesting. So Denver has already signed Bo Nix to a contract. He's the first of the six first-round quarterbacks to reach an agreement, and it's a four-year, fully guaranteed deal worth $16.61 million. Get paid, young. Get paid. Get paid, young. Get paid. Yeah, that's fire. They really believe in him, and I think they have to. You know, it's going to be tough for Denver if it doesn't work out. Obviously, you had the whole thing happen with Russ, and we ran it about that weeks ago, months ago on the show. But he's a good player. He's a great player in college, bounced around from Auburn to Oregon. And it seems like he's going to be their guy. And Zach Wilson's going to be working uphill to get any reps. Okay, this is a good one. So, Goodell's talked about eliminating preseason games. Commissioner Roger Goodell's talked about eliminating preseason games in favor of adding an extra week to the NFL season. And I thought that might piss some players off. And so there's a clip I got here of Joey B. talking a little bit about it.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And how it could be hard on guys down the stretch.
18 games is definitely a big ask. That's not easy. I feel like adding that bye week was pretty critical for our bodies. You know, some teams have the bye week 5, week 6, and then you're going 12, 13 games in a row. That's not easy. Probably a Thursday night game thrown in there too. Maybe you could do something like the first bye is kind of how we have it now, and the second bye everybody has it at once, and you make it like the Pro Bowl week or something like an All-Star break for the NBA. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, so I didn't add that in the preface, but he thinks that if we're going to extend it, if the league's going to extend it to 18 games, that there needs to be an extra bye week. And I think that's very sensible, especially from a player's standpoint. It's obvious he probably doesn't like the idea of 18 games if there is not a bye week added. So he comes to the table with a solution. He says, well, give us another bye week if you want to do 18 games. 18 football games at the highest level is a lot. And you're not even thinking about postseason yet. I mean, obviously, you know, most of the teams aren't going to make the postseason. And 18 is a lot, man. So I think Joey B's got a good point. Okay, this is a good one. So Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud went to Japan, and this is a clip of Micah Parsons wrestling with a sumo guy, dude. That pop, dude, when you initially hit him. He was embarrassed, too. It's fire though, he did that. I mean, imagine eating that from Micah Parsons, dude. Wins it. Fire. So I don't know much about sumo wrestling, but it seems, I mean, maybe it's just because it's Micah Parsons that's going against a sumo wrestler in that clip I just showed, but it looks high impact, and you're just trying to push the other guy. I wonder if sumo guys would be good grapplers or not. They'd have to be, because they got a nice low center of gravity. They probably got strong hands. Strong, obviously, you know, they're big boys. They got strong trunks. I bet these sumo guys were raised to be that, especially in a culture like Japan. I wonder how that process works. You know, like, do you match parents up genetically to create a sumo superhuman? Or do they see him when they're like little boys and they say, oh, that's a heavy set feller. That boy needs to be raised as a sumo. You know? I need to do some research on that. That'd be cool to figure out. Bushido, Way of the Warrior, I think that's Japanese. You know? So maybe some aspect of the Bushido code applies to the sumo guys, in which case that would be pretty cool. Next deal. Damn, boy.
Put some of the chicken on your toes. Come on, big boy. Got a big dude doing this? Got a big body. Come on, put your body. Good guy. Oh, yeah? Damn. Really? Here's where the brain is, way back here. That's where the skin meets the head. You shoot from the back, and 22 magnums all you need. When you shoot a big one like down top of the head, take at least a 357, 9mm, something of caliber to penetrate the skull. And right on the end of the spout, that's what you hit. If an alligator ever grab you, you pop that as hard as you can, it pisses them off. They open their mouth, you get your head out. Watch your leg if he tries to climb in. He slides to the other side. Sometimes he climbs in, it's hard to get him back out. Won't touch him, feel him? Good? You're not
done.
You rub him on the nose, pet him like a dog.
That's a big dude, man. That's a big
gator. Big dude.
Golly, boy. He was friendly with the old boy, and then he talked about smoking him. That was a big ass alligator, bro. And there were people in the comments on that video saying like, you know, like this, if you understood everything. I mean, if I was sideways on some clear, man, that'd be hard for me to understand, dude. That'd be a tough task, but I can pick up that Louisiana Cajun a little bit. I could pick it up, but you know, damn, with the headphones playing, the audio playing out of the computer here, you guys are gonna hear it fine, but with these headphones on, I couldn't for real understand it. All right. Oh yeah, this is fun. He was fired up, bro. I had this friend in elementary school, and he was a real squirrely, nerdy guy, and he used to get so excited, bro. He used to like take a pencil and get real fired up, you know, kind of do it rhythmically, you know, based on the level of excitement he was feeling type shit. And I can do it so well because I used to get fired up and I took after my boy. I started doing it with him. You know what I'm talking about? Be at the house playing Madden. He's on the run. Oh, touchdown. Touchdown, Denver. You know, just get fired up. because some electric shit going on, baby. I've been listening to Hank Williams Jr. It's a greatest. There's a greatest hits album, and I think it's called A Country Boy Can't Survive. But it's four discs, right? It's all of his greatest hits, and the fourth disc is a complete live concert when Hank was at the height of his stardom. It was live recorded, and it's literally no breaks, unedited, the whole show. And I mean, bro, that shit had me fired up, you know what I mean? I've been listening to it on repeat for like the last 3 days. Probably won't stop, because when that Sweet Home Alabama comes off of Hank's guitar player, and he comes in and said, "Birmingham, they love the governor." Shit gets me fired up. Fired up. Gets me like that guy in the clip. Fired up. Emotional. Not stoic. Can't help myself. So happy. So anyway. Next deal. That shit is crazy. He got hit too. Hit again. And he's just right back at him. That's like my friend Cody Bebo in jiu-jitsu. It's like a little mongoose, you know. He's strong too. So apparently mongooses, I looked in the comments after this. These are all clips that I just see on the internet every week, and I save them, and then we throw them into Google Drive and talk about them on the show. So in the comments, somebody said mongoose have special type of blood that doesn't respond to venom, because that's one of the most venomous snakes on the planet. And he's just getting hit and like keeps rolling. And it's like, if we humans get hit by one of them things, I've seen a rattlesnake one time out here in Arizona, and that probably, now I don't want to speak misinfo, but it probably don't even compare to that. And I get real frightened about getting hit. And that boy just keeps getting hit, keeps coming back for mo. He's a real deal dog, bruh. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Next deal. This one's funny.
Wake up at 1 a.m. in the freezer. Gargle piss. Uncomfortable? Good. Listen to 5 self-improvement podcasts at once as you drag a tire to work. Fire ants in a diaper to keep you going. Ex-wife calls. Says you can't visit the kids this weekend.
Good.
Good. Let me slow you down. Get to work. Gargle more pee. Do work on Chinese keyboard. Don't know Chinese? You will. Broken glass for lunch. Boss comes in, says you're falling behind. He doesn't understand. He can't. He isn't a wolf in this world of sheep. Get hit by 3 cars on the way home while listening to audiobooks at 2x speed. New record. Legs broken? Good. Pass out on kitchen floor. Roaches kissing you all over. They understand the grind. Set alarm for 1 a.m. and drift into a coma while listening to ASMR.
That's got a dark undertone to it, though, dude. That is, I saw that and I was like, damn, bro. That's a really good satire of this hustle culture that I think kind of started during maybe tail end of COVID with men, you know, when Tate got big and, you know, it's all just like, be a man, suffer for suffering's sake. It's like, no, like, define what you want first. And if that entails fucking eating broken glass, then, and that's part of your mission, man, power to you. But I feel like that culture kind of perpetuated an expectation in young men that wasn't really realistic. You got to have time to play. You got to have time to sleep. You got to take care of yourself. And nourish yourself spiritually too. Not saying, you know, old Jocko doesn't. Jocko has got a lot of really, really good stuff. David Goggins has got a lot of really, really good stuff. But, you know, it's like these guys are hard, badass, killer Marines. And, you know, they bring a mentality that I think is really great and productive for the most part. But, you know, it's like, I know in my life I have pursued that mentality at times, and I always just kind of got a little burnt, you know. And then, but if you distill the knowledge in a way that applies to your life, and you don't just say, oh, you know, David Goggins gets up at 2 a.m. so, you know, I need to. It's like, that's not, you know, I don't know. I thought that video was good satire, I guess, in my point. Next deal.
Little asshole. Too goddamn. Fuck this! That goddamn table's defective. Oh, fuck! God damn!
That's some real Trailer Park Boys shit, bro. Damn, table's defective. Shit. That guy. See, but that guy reminds me of, you remember Mad Max from Wolf of Wall Street? What did he say? They call him while he was watching some, what was the show? I can't remember. He's like, give me a call at 7 p.m. on a Tuesday night? Oh, what was the other one? He was like, $40,000 worth of sides, Jordan? What, did the sides cure cancer? The sides, they did cure cancer. Smart-ass Donnie. Man, shamelessly, Wolf of Wall Street's fire. Come on now, y'all. I know it turned into a bit fratty deal, but, you know. And the Jordan Belfort himself, it's a sad tale, right? Because it's a tale of greed. It's not a tale of this guy that set out and wanted to help people. It's really more of a tale, you know, like you think of the table conversation that, you know, Leo has with Matthew McConaughey in that one of those first scenes of Wolf of Wall Street. And, you know, McConaughey's character, Mark Hanna, you know, says to a young Jordan, he's like, fuck the client. And it's like, dude, that is the worst fucking attitude out there, bro. Because guess what? You're not serving something greater than yourself, and you're going to turn to women and cocaine for your sense of fulfillment. And that's a slippery slope, brother. So it's really, Wolf of Wall Street is really a sad tale about how greed can just uproot your life from the inside out and destroy everything, including you. But it's a hell of a movie, and it's a lot of fun. But, yeah, Mad Max, it just came to me. It was the show that he was watching. But, old heads that like blow their top, dude, it's so funny, bro. It's my favorite thing, being a grumpy old man. Anyway. Oh, this one's good. Next clip.
If you are not absolutely blasting morning sunlight, 10 to 15 minute brisk walk or some form of activity to juice the heart rate, a little bit of water with electrolyte, even just some pure sea salt or Himalayan salt, and taking 5 minutes to just sit with your thought before you roll over and immediately trigger your fight or flight with this little electronic box that takes your dopamine and just hijacks it and sends your cortisol into the stratosphere and makes you more susceptible to bad news. That's true. The brainwaves you're emitting apps actually make you more impressionable in the morning. That's why it's a bad idea to check your phone, click science.
That's
crazy. If you're not doing that, water, light, movement, 5 minutes of being in the present moment, what are you doing? You don't believe me? You think that's too simple? Try it. That's just a really dumb way to say something that a really smart neuroscientist said, and thousands of people are doing and have told me personally has changed their life. So, don't believe me, try it. Try it, and then I want you to comment back on this video and tell me you don't feel 100% different. 100% different. Water, light, movement. 15 minutes of your morning.
Talking with
no
his
phones,
fire.
No emails, no bullshit. Just you for 15 minutes and just see what happens.
Well-rounded bastard. It's fire. It's a fire routine. I've been trying to do that, man. It's crazy, man. Consistency is so simple, but it's so hard. And I still have that conditioning, you know, since the age of the iPhone, to wake up and pick up that phone and start checking shit and scrolling. It just, I know it's not good. I know it's not good. And then get out in the sun, take the dogs, let them rip in the desert. If you run your dogs in an open desert in Arizona, get them rattlesnake trained so that they can smell them and that's not a source of anxiety on your morning walks with your dogs. Get you a hunting dog, okay? Get you a bird dog. Get you a Labrador. Get you a German short hair. Get you a little coon hound. And just, you know, you got to train them when they're young to stay with you. And that's doable, okay? I put an e-collar on my boy just to make sure that his response is very prompt. And take the dogs every morning, try to get out there at longest, like 30 minutes after I rise. Get some of that Arizona sun on my gills. And let the dogs rip. It's a great little deal. You're out in nature. We got a little conservation park. It's at the base of a mountain. And there's oddly no cacti, which is great because Jasper likes to rip after critters. And he's done so through fields of cacti, only to find at the end of his journey, his rodent seeking, that he's covered in needles. And guess who's got to pull him out? Dad. Anyway, that's my little deal. We got a cold plunge at the house now. Thank you, God. Praise Jesus, baby. And then the writing, the meditation, a nice latte. That's the sauce, fellas. At least 10 minutes a day. Y'all make sure you meditate. Please. Please. The world will be a better place when we're all meditating. I can tell you that much. Next deal.
Тома Пуляевская. А как я без твоих трусиков такой же пустой, как и эта банка?
Fantastic Four face ass. Bro, that noise, bro. It's like a big ogre, bro. It's like Shrek shotgunning a Four Loko, dude. Man. Four Lokos are nostalgic for you, boy. Let me tell you. I watched a guy shotgun a whole big one like this size in college, and he didn't throw up. And I used to always think, that's a good man. I trust him. Next deal. Sauteed. It sounded like a gunshot. Fucking whacked that. Wish I could hit my irons like that, bro. It's pretty coarse, too. Damn. I want to hit my irons like that. We'll get there. It just takes time. It takes reps. Any given Sunday, catch me out on the golf course shooting a 110. Next deal. This shit is crazy.
Gary Rebel is a professional worm grunter. These professional grunters use an implausible method to catch worms that even they admit is like magic. DW pounds a wooden stake called a stab into the ground and levels his 10-pound flat iron over the top. Then he slowly, rhythmically, rubs the iron over the stab back and forth. He's making the ground vibrate with this technique, and then suddenly, magically, big fat earthworms start to climb out of the soil.
There's an art to it, you know. I've tried to teach people how to do it, you know, and they just give up. They say they just don't understand how we can get these worms out of the ground with this stuff.
They don't understand. I'd have a beer. Man, that makes me want to do some fishing. I think we're going to do some fishing when I go. I'm going to Kentucky in a week. Go see the office. And go down to Laurel Lake down there south of Lexington. A couple hours south, I believe. Go out there to do some fishing before we ship off to Nashville for a little bit. Next deal. This is a fun one.
Sosa's next after 3/4 in 1:10.4 seconds. And now Epicenter comes splitting horses and is moving up quickly as Crown Pride takes the lead around
so
the far turn.
Too,
it is Crown Pride battling with Messier. They're stride for stride. Epicenter and Sosa's in behind them. Cyberknife swings up on the outside. Sandon gets the rail run and they're into the stretch. And it's Messier, Crown Pride,
Terminal
and Epicenter is coming up on the outside.
Epicenter
has taken the
driver,
lead as they arrive into the final furlong. Sandon is coming after him. Epicenter and Sandon, these two, stride for stride. Simplification down the outside is next. They're coming down to the wire. Epicenter, Sandon, Rich Strike is coming up on the inside. Oh my goodness, the longest shot has won the Kentucky Derby.
That's fire. Bro, it's like he just found it. It's a dogged ass horse. And what's crazy is like these horses, man, they got freaking personalities. I don't mean to sound like a horse girl. They got personalities though, man. Some of them are stubborn. Some of them are dogged. And some of them are just kind of like, oh, yeah, I'm happy to be here, you know. Hey. And you'll see, man, you'll see sometimes like and I think they do this for the betters at the racetracks. And they might just do it to, I don't know. I don't want to say that. They might just do it to get the horses all shaken out. But they do a paddock walk with them, right, with the horses, probably 15 minutes before the race goes off. And this time period, some betters, people that make their living betting on horses, I cannot imagine. But people will come up looking to bet and watch the horses run around and be like, oh, he looks gimpy. You know, that horse is behaving this way. And these people understand the horse's behavior so well. A gentleman told me one time, this was back when I was young, man, and I was watching a paddock walk. I think it was one of my parents' friends that, you know, makes a living off of betting on horses did well enough in his career that he could retire and just do that. To live. And he was like, you see that horse? How he's not cooperating? How he's kind of pissed off looking? And it was like, yeah, you know, it's pretty apparent. You know, they like don't cooperate with, you know, whoever's walking them. Or sometimes if the jockey gets on, they'll give him a little shit, you know? And then those horses get out on the racetrack sometimes and they just burn, baby. And it's, And the betting odds have not picked that up. You know, that horse that was pointed out to me that day was like a huge long shot at Keeneland, at some, you know, not huge race at Keeneland race course in my hometown, Lexington, Kentucky. And the dude was right, and the horse just came out pissed off and dogged. Piss and vinegar and freaking ran his ass off. So it's kind of cool how horses, you know, the whole horse racing thing is very niche, right? Not many people outside of Kentucky, you know, really care about it at all. But the people that do care about it, it's like a whole thing. So that horse is just damn determined. I forgot about that Derby, but I do remember that 80-1 hitting and be like, oh, somebody came home with some money. And that looks like that's the last clip on the show today. Fellas, ladies, we're 18 episodes in, out of infinity. This is In the Jar, hosted by your boy Dupe. We'd love it if you subscribed to our channel. Left a comment. Let us know what you think. Tell a friend if you loved it. Tell a friend if you hated it. We're going to be hanging and banging here for a hot minute. Now, you guys have a good week. And we'll see you next week on In the Jar.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.